Recorded live at the WonkyWeeds.com studio, it's the Selling Out Show. And now, here is your host, David Chicharro.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where I screw up life at my leisure for your listening pleasure. I am your host, David Chicharrone. Over here by my side is my silent partner, Phoebe the dog. Hey, Phoebe. Are you sleeping? Are you awake? Do you want to say hello to the listening audience? I'll take that as a no. But anyway, I have a great show planned for you today, but before we get into a lot of the content I do have scribbled down here in my notes, I want to mention something of impact, importance to me. Just got back from the doctor, had some blood work done, and I got the results, and guess what? I'm going to live! That's right! Oh my God! Oh, well, I mean, barring a piano falling from the sky anytime soon and crushing me, and my dreams of a long life, I plan on being here for quite a while. And, you know, when you reach my age, I'm a little long in the tooth, ain't no spring chicken anymore. When you go to the doctor, you always expect bad news. Yep. That's the way it goes. It's always you're too fat. Your triglycerides are too high, or this or that, or Jesus Christ, you need to diet. I keep bringing up the fat stuff because, you know, I am a little pleasantly plump, and that's something the doctors often tend to bring up without even having to draw blood. They just take one look at me and go, oh boy, we got a fatty boombaladdy here. What's the first piece of advice we can give? Lose some weight. You know, it's like if you walked into the doctor's office, you had a pack of cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve, they're going to say, hey, don't smoke. In my case, stop shoving cheeseburgers down your trap there. Chubby pants. I couldn't think of a better thing to say. So chubby pants it is, which will be marketed on t-shirts on the Selling Out Show store. But anyway, long time, and I mean very, very long time listeners of the show may remember when it was me and Nate, we used to do an update on my testosterone. Yes, because I was taking testosterone treatments. Not ashamed to say it. I mean, it comes a point in everybody's life where you're a little low energy and it leads into some low T. Well, low energy has plagued me for a very, very long time. So I guess it's not much of a surprise that one of the results of my blood work was, in fact, low testosterone. Now, thankfully, it's not something that's going to kill you. You know what I mean? It's not anything dangerous per se. I mean, I guess it could be if it was like zero, maybe. I'd have like no hair on my body or something. I'd probably be a little freaky looking other than the chubby buddy. But yeah, so I'm going back on testosterone. They're going to inject me, shoot it right into my veins. So hopefully that starts kicking in and starts working because I think it would really help with my energy. Unfortunately, one of the side effects is I might become more of a manly man. Maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. But anyway, maybe I'll get a deeper voice. Maybe I'll my beard will finally turn a regular color again instead of being as white as the Arctic snow. Who knows? Hell, I might end up sounding like this.
You got the giant, the only professional wrestler who's still undefeated.
A man can dream. A man can truly dream. Hopefully after a few testosterone treatments, I start sounding like Andre the Giant. You know? That's on a bucket list. One I didn't know I had before this morning, but I do now. So just a really quick anecdote about the doctor visit before we move on to some other cool stuff to talk about. I bring my wife in with me to the doctor. It's one of the great joys of being married and being in your 40s or above where you start thinking like, hey, you know, I want to share medical information with you, you know? It's the next step in our relationship. You got to know everything about me. You got to sit in there in the room and you got to help me bring things up because often I forget things, you know? So having your wife or significant other in the room is like, hey, man, we're like, this is beyond sharing bodily fluids. We're in it. We are deep, deep, deep in it. But anyway, we're sitting in the office waiting for the doctor to come in. And we're looking at all the signs and paraphernalia on the walls. And one of the things is for sleep apnea, which I've suffered from in the past. It's some serious stuff. I got the machine and the whole kit and caboodle there. But we're looking at all the side effects listed. Like, okay, well, if you have sleep apnea, it could result in a heart attack. It could result in an early death. It could result in a stroke. But then I saw one that said ED. And I looked at my wife and I said, hey, we know that's not something I'm struggling with, right? And, you know, of course she laughs, but then she decides to knock on the wall. Knock, knock. And I look at her. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, knocking on wood. I'm like, well, hey, in all fairness, that's not wood. That's plaster. So then she reaches over and, like, knocks on the frame of the little display that has all the paraphernalia on it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, I get you trying to, like, knock on wood. Hopefully that I never become a guy who can't get a boner. I get it. But the universal code for a doctor, nurse practitioner, nurse, whoever is going to come in the room is that gentle knock on the door. I'm like, someone in the next room is probably saying, come in. Yes, it's fine. You know, they think someone's coming in, but you're just knocking in hopes that your husband never gets erectile dysfunction. So there you go. Good one. You just tricked our neighbors in the sake of hoping your husband can always get a hard on. So yeah, apologies to whoever was next door to me in the other examination room this morning. I give more details, but I'd rather not. So yeah. So anyway, yep, I'm fairly healthy for a man in his mid-40s. Happy about that. And the other thing too, just really quick, and this is fairly personal, is another reason, and it's beyond age, in the sense of doom, impending doom when you get older, is that my mother, who died of cancer, ignored blood work. Like, she had gotten blood work done and a doctor tried to call her. And she's like, well, I want results over the phone. And they're like, no, you have to come in. You have to be here. We have to talk to you. And I don't know if it was just like her not wanting to get bad news, but she never went. And then she moved away and whatnot. And then we found out she had cancer. And so that was a terrible thing, because I often wonder, what if she had just gone in to get those results? You know what I mean? So you never want to have bad news. No one likes bad news. Everybody hates bad news. But at the same time, it's fairly important to get everything checked. You know what I mean? But yeah. So I got the low T. I got the, they want me to take some vitamin D. That's right. Some vitamin Dave in my life, which I will do. But as for right now, you're stuck with the host of the Selling Out Show for a long, long time. So let's all rejoice in that and carry on, shall we? Oh, there it is again. Yes, from the heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David will live. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, it's been a little bit since I've talked to you guys. I did something very unusual. Anti-personality of the Chicharron here. And I switched phones. And when I did that, and this is something that was always a point of contention I had with Nate back in the day, because he was an Apple user. Big on the iPhones, using Apple stuff. And I'm like, you elitist son of a bitch. You piece of crap. How dare you go with Apple? They're terrible. They make you use Apple things. They're only compatible with Apple stuff. Like, what the hell's going on? Well, now I get an iPhone. I'm an elitist. I've joined the Illuminati. Indeed, I have. And I kind of love it. I'm really enjoying it. So, yeah, I guess cats are hugging dogs. And the rain is coming from the ground instead of the sky. Everything's backwards and reverse. Now I've joined the iPhone community. So if you ever want to FaceTime me, too bad. That's not going to happen. But still, I feel like I'm a fancy boy. I've got this new piece of tech in my pocket, which also makes me wonder, why do we still call them phones? Really? Like, how? It's just a function on the device that we occasionally use. Like, I hate making phone calls. I try to never make phone calls. I don't even answer calls. You know? It's like, but we still call them phones, even though it's a little mini computer in our pocket. I mean, the main function of a phone is more just for wasting time, but we don't call it a time waster or a bug zapper for human brains, right? We text more than anything. We don't call it a text device. We still call it a phone. It's just convenient and easy, I suppose. But with the evolution of the device itself, the phone portion of it is just this minor little thing. Some people probably even use it less than the calculator. You know? Oh, I use a flashlight all the time. Well, how often do you make a call? I don't know, like once every couple of weeks. You know? And I wonder if Alexander Graham Bell now, instead of his first transmission on the telephone, would be like, you know, like, what's an elevator? So he's like, hey, I can't get any Wi-Fi. You know? Like, what do you use your phone for most? Surfing the internet? Surfing. That's kind of an antiquated statement now. Okay, looking at the internet, looking at social media, shopping. I mean, how often do you really make phone calls? I suppose if it's part of your job and you're issued a phone from your company, yeah, but that's, yet again, it's something you're forced to do. It's not recreation. You know, like, ooh, I want to call this person right now. So you just have this thing in your pocket and, you know, hey, look, Instagram. Ooh, geez, it's my Amazon brick that I keep in my pocket. Oh, this is the thing I use to masturbate. You know what I mean? But it's really just not a phone. I don't know. But now I get a fancy masturbatory device. So yay. Not saying that's what I use it for. No. At least not yet. Still brand new. You know? So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that was my little personal note thing. I was like, yeah, I went to the doctor, get an iPhone. Look at me. So what else was like? Oh, yes, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm such in a brain drain right now. I need more coffee. But I feel bad sipping coffee on the air because I've heard some listeners of the show saying, hey, Dave, don't do that. It's not nice, especially since you can't offer any to us, which I get. So until they invent virtual coffee, it's not cool for me to start slurping down on my cup just to get my thoughts corrected and straight. But anyway, I remember now. I am fascinated with how stupid people are, right? You think we've hit the pinnacle, we've gone to the mountaintop, we're done. I mean, after the events of the last decade. And a lot of it is thanks to what I was just talking about, the quote-unquote phones we keep in our pockets. But Jesus, we're all so goddamn dumb. Well, here's something that takes the cake. Or at least it does to me, because I wonder how this is even still possible. Like, people would fall for this. But I listen to a radio show every morning religiously, and it plays commercials. It's from Boston. And during the commercial breaks, there is constantly this ad for something called, and I hate giving them a plug, so please don't go visit them, just write them hate mail, Backstage Country. What the ad consists of, it will say, okay, we've got the dirt on this country western artist. If you want to hear what they're interested in, text this code or text this name to this number, and we're going to send you a link. We will send you a link to our website that has that article on it. All right, so this is fairly innocent enough, right, Dave? Why would this piss you off? Why is this upsetting you? What's the matter with this? To me, personally, and the reason why I think it's so just idiotic, who in their right mind would decide, hey, I'm taking out my phone, I'm going to text this number so I can get clickbait. I'm going to get some crappy articles, some top five list. When in real, you know, realistically here, what you could do is just go on the website directly or, I mean, just Google the artist and it's probably all the same information, but you are willing to text them and have them send you a link. Now, mind you, I'm sure once they get your phone number, that's a whole another can of worms, you know? But who falls for this? Who does this? Who's like, Jesus, I need to know what top five Carrie Underwood songs made their list of best Carrie Underwood songs? Do you care that much? Is it that important to you? Are you that much of a hillbilly hit country western music fan? I mean, I love David Bowie, but if I heard an ad saying, text Bowie to 456789 to hear the best David Bowie songs from the 80s as rated by our writers, I'd be like, that is the worst thing I've ever heard. Why would I do that? What's going on here? So, I mean, immediately I think, well, of course, it's country western. It's going to be Hicks. I think I just mentioned that. Hicks, hillbillies, whatever. Oh, yeah, I got to know what's going on with Keith Urban. I'm a big Keith Urban fan. How am I going to know what's going on with him if I don't text Backstage Country? How do I know? Well, I mean, there's plenty of avenues to do so. But even then, of course, the most obvious one that I just mentioned, just go on their website. Why do you, you know, I don't know if there's something like consumer cellular, like those phones they make for old people with like the huge buttons on them. Maybe they need something like that because they don't know how to go on the internet. I don't know. But even then, yet again, in this day and age, how would you not know? You know, it used to be the thing where people of age could be more ignorant about technology. You know, I remember 20 some odd years ago hooking up a DVR. I did it once in my own home. And then people in my family thought, oh, he's a DVR guy. I'm going to call him to set up the DVR or set up the Blu-ray player or whatever. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But this technology is just too much. I don't know what's going on, man. You know, you've done it. I don't know. And that's a very crude example. But still, I mean, nowadays, let's say you're 95 years old and you're that interested in going on the internet. You could just tell your device, do this. That's beyond you? I don't know. Or just say, hey, let's go on that lousy Backstage Country website. Google. I'm not saying any names here as far as devices, since I have them all over my home and I don't want to activate them. But I think you get the gist. I think you get the drift. For me, it's just ridiculous. I can't get over it. And I think the people are just plain
stupid!
Old...
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you very much. Just completely stupid. So shame on Backstage Country. And if you've heard these ads, feel free to contact me, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. And let me know what you think about them, because they drive me crazy and they play constantly. So thank you for letting me ramble about that for a few moments. Truly appreciated. And screw Backstage Country and the text chain that they wrote in on. So now seems about a good time as any to thank the partners of the show, who will probably never ask you to text them for clickbait. But we got NorthlandVapor.com, AlpineHemp.com, WonkyWeeds.com, RealDBG.com. Now, this is under the Northland Vapor banner. As their name implies, they have vape juices, which I enjoy tremendously, supplies, CBD products, relaxation, smoking cessation. You name it, they've got everything under the sun at those sites. They also have retail locations, so check out their websites if you want to pop in and do a little brick and mortar. But, I mean, just fantastic companies run by fantastic people with outstanding employees. And here's another little kickback for you, something that's not too shabby. If you go on the website and order there, you can use code SELLINGOUT23 and save 23% off your entire order. Coupon code. There you go. That's my gift to you. And you will love everything that they have to offer. That much I can guarantee personally. Last but not least, I want to thank Spunk Lube. Spunk Lube is a lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry. But why let them have all the fun? If you visit spunklube.com today, you can have a package delivered discreetly to your door. And fun times await. Trust you me, it's good stuff as well. I am a big user of the Spunk Lube. As you just heard, I don't have ED. So, I mean, this Spunk Lube, I got this stuff by the gallon. Thankfully, they send it to me, and I use it that way. I could get a slip and slide set up. But all I need is a space. I got the lube. All I need is the room to run, and a little plastic tarp, and I'm good to go. I have no idea if they still sell slip and slides, but If they did, I would spunkify mine. So, yeah. All right. So, thanks to those partners. They are truly fantastic. And let's move on to something I really enjoy talking about. And now that Nate has gone, we've shifted from music to TV. Show me that smile again.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. How long have I been asleep? What year is it?
Games talking TV. Oh. And let's go with the show. Boy, I can't sing for shit. All right, I always try to noodle at the end of that, give you a little personal flair. So, iPhones, right? Well, with that, they give you a bunch of free stuff. And I had no ambitions of subscribing to Apple TV. But hey, now it's free, so I'm on that sucker like nobody's business. And I've been watching it pretty much exclusively for the last couple weeks. Now, you might be familiar with how I'd always tout Hulu as my favorite streamer, or how I would really enjoy the content on Freevee. But lately, it has been Apple Plus TV. And with that, I have watched a whole bunch of stuff. But there's only a couple things I really want to focus on today. First things up is there is a two-part documentary on Steve Martin. Now, Steve Martin, if you don't know who he is, you're probably, I don't know, of a certain age where you were just born yesterday. But he is a famous comedian, actor, playwright, author, just name a few more things, maybe a male model. I don't know. But the dude's pretty much done it all. I became familiar with Steve Martin as a kid because even though my father really gave me nothing in life whatsoever, one of the earlier memories I have is going through some of his cassettes, and he had like a lot of comedy records on tape, and one of which was a Steve Martin album. And I remember the song King Tut. King Tut, he had a condom made of stone of King Tut, born in Babylonia, moved to Arizona. Sounds juvenile? Well, I was a juvenile. Perfect humor for a kid my age. And I thought it was hilarious. Does it hold up very well today? You'd probably have to be a Steve Martin diehard to really enjoy it. But the journey that is focused on in this documentary is quite interesting because it really starts in the beginning. I don't know if I just mentioned it's a two-part documentary. He wasn't terribly talented. He really had to work at his craft for a long, long time. I think he struggled for like 15 years. And then it wasn't until he had kind of retooled his act, his image, and everything else that he started finding some success. But it wasn't like nothing came easy for Steve Martin. He would open for anybody and do this and that and every other kind of show, rock bands, other comedians, you name it. And I'm not trying to spoil anything, so I'm not giving you like all the details here. But it is fairly fascinating how he just didn't give up. He was like setting goals for himself. Like, if by this age I'm not successful, I got to move on and do something different. But in the meanwhile, he just kept plugging away. But here is what impacted me the most. It's the second part of the documentary, where we're past his comedy career. He's had his movie career, but now he's in his 70s. And his life has really smoothed out to the point where he's very content and very happy. Everybody has their demons. Everybody has their problems, their own personal traumas. He had his fair share as well. But now he's at a place in his life where he's probably happiest that he's ever been. And I understand one might say, even myself, hey man, when you're that rich and you've had that much success in life, it's easy. It's really simple to find happiness when you never have to worry about a lot of the stressors that basically can kill normal folk like you and me, you know, paying bills, mortgages, rent, you know, what have you. But I think it is really relatable, even to someone like me. And I say this because I feel like life in itself comes in different acts, whether it's two or three, like a movie. But it almost, and this is how I kind of view it, it's almost as if you have this earlier part in your life where that version of you is almost unrecognizable. You might be a little embarrassed of that person, the deeds that they did, who you were, you know? And now, like for me personally, I'm not rich. I'm not successful. I mean, I love having the fans of the show, but I mean, to be honest with you, I still work a 9-to-5. I'm still struggling with bills and everything else, but I'm more at peace now, more satisfied, feel like I'm the most grounded morally than I've ever been. And to look in the rear view and go, geez, that was Dave at 22 or 23. I'm like, who the hell was that guy? Thankfully, I've learned from him. I've changed because of him. And I'm here now. And I got a lot of vibes like that from the Steve Martin documentary, you know? And I really enjoyed it for that. I mean, it's an interesting story. His life is, you know, of course, if you're that successful, there's going to be some interesting tidbits in there to make for good stories, you know? But I just really found it really highly relatable, which is something I didn't expect from that documentary. I don't know how you guys feel about it. You know, if you're at a point in your life where do you feel like you're the same 16-year-old kid that you've always been, or the immature person and you're just getting older and crow's feet and gray hair and a little flabbier body? Or do you really feel like you've evolved emotionally, you know? And that's where he is, where he's even started a family now and he's in his 70s. You know, he had a rough family life growing up where there wasn't a lot of affection or cohesiveness. So for many years, he decided to rally against that and not have that as a goal in his own life. But now he's reached this spot where he knows he's content and happy with everything. He's like, well, now I can tackle that. I can do that. I think I'm in the right place to do so. So there you go. Never get a vasectomy. That's one of the big lessons there. Just don't snip. But no, seriously, I don't know. I yet again, I'm going to throw the email address out there, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. If you ever feel like you've kind of hit a point in your life where you are a different person and you're happy with who you are, life could be better. I get it. You could be more successful. You could be more driven. Hell, I got low T and no vitamin D. I got zero energy. But damn if I'm not happy. I mean, I really am, you know, and it's not 100%, you know, just completely, I'm so satisfied. I mean, my job still kind of sucks. You know, it's not exactly where I wanted to be in life, but at the same time, you always say, I can't complain. Well, technically you could. That's what therapy's for, you know? I mean, you just destroy an entire industry if you couldn't just sit somewhere and complain. But, you know, you understand what I'm trying to get at, where maybe your home life is so good or satisfactory, it kind of, you know, pushes the unease with something else in your life off the cliff. And you just feel really good, really content. And that, you know, that's where I am now. And maybe it's not just, I mean, I'm relating it to family and careers and stuff. But maybe you're just like, hey, man, I'm in a place where I own a bunch of stuff and that makes me happy. Okay. If that's your happiness, that's great. If that's what brings you joy, that's great. But do you feel like a complete person because of your things and stuff that you own? Sure as hell doesn't hurt none. That much I can guarantee you, because I'm with you on that too. Like, and this is going to sound geeky as hell, even though I hate the term. But like, I own a bunch of collectibles and things that if my 12-year-old self caught a glimpse of my life now, maybe he'd be like, oh, I expected a little bit more. But damn, you own so much cool stuff. Oh, man, look at you. You did it, baby. You did it. Congratulations. And I'm like, yeah, little 12-year-old me. I did. I kept you inside. Right here. I am poking my chest right now. You cannot see that in podcast form, but that's what I'm doing. Right here inside. So, yeah. Anyway, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. I would like to hear if you are happy with your life. But that's the Steve Martin documentary. I would recommend it. It is, if you're a fan of documentaries like I am, it's perfectly good. Perfectly fine. But let's move on to a show that kind of caught me off guard because I didn't know if I was going to enjoy it or not because I'm not really a huge fan of the franchise. Yes, I said franchise because there are many, many movies based on the Legend of Godzilla. And the show I'm referring to is Monarch. Yes, Monarch, which is more related to the human stories in the monster universe. Now, I just mentioned the franchise. I'm not a big fan. I've seen some of the films growing up, Godzilla and Kong stuff, and you know, Legendary recently has released Kong Skull Island. I've seen that. I've seen Godzilla versus Kong more for the CGI spectacle that they are rather than the stories that they tell. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like a popcorn film, right? But this Monarch itself has the human element, which I really, really enjoyed. Sure, you have your fair moments of like...
run! It's Godzilla!
Yes, it is! Run for your life! Run for the bunker! You got a little of that going on, but it has a lot of stuff going on there on the human condition. Yeah. On just like, how do you survive living in a world where titans are a threat? You know? And they focus in on a story of this girl who is... father seemingly just passed away. Yet again, no spoilers here. And she's trying to find out more about him. And it just kind of like this huge web that you end up falling into. The show itself has its fair share of problems, which I'll get to in a second. But if you've seen Monarch, here's something it almost seems like an easy comparison. But I really think it was a strong link to things I liked about the show Lost. With the mystery, and it has a lot of flashbacks that are super important to the story. So it kind of had those Lost-y vibes to me. And I enjoyed that because I miss Lost. Lost was a freaking phenomenon, man. That show was... everybody, the world was hooked on Lost for a long time. And I almost felt hooked on Monarch in the same fashion, where I just, luckily, I was able to binge everything all at once. I had to wait for that stupid week-to-week episode release. But man, I was pop Monarch into my veins. Just do it. I need it. I need more of it. I mentioned it's problematic, or it has problems. The reason why I say that is because as the show progresses, you're going to start realizing, did that really need to be done? And this is plot stuff. It's almost as if some of the things that are really important seem very frivolous and worthless and weren't needed towards the end. But I mean, you still got to take the journey to get there. And it's a hell of a lot of fun. And I also found it interesting that one of the executive producers, showrunners, writers is someone named Matt Fraction, who's a comic book writer, who's some of his work I've seen in the past, and I was never a big fan of, but I was like, hey, you know, this is a cool angle. Maybe he has a different perspective coming from the sequential art world. And I couldn't say it necessarily showed to the point where I'm like, wow, I can totally tell this has been slapped together by someone with you know, being familiar with comics, but I'm sure it didn't hurt. You know what I mean? But yeah, Monarch was overall excellent. It was truly excellent. Plus, you know, I would not be me if I failed to mention to you that just about every female lead on that show. Oh, yeah, baby. I was like, wow. Hachi Machi, hello, mama, hello, nurse. And that's the whole point of shows, right? They don't cast unattractive people, right? Gonna be wowzers. So there you go. A little eye candy to boot, you know. But yeah, Monarch. I probably did a terrible job summarizing the entire show right now, so I do apologize. But I kind of got lost in my own thoughts there for a second. Looking around the wonkyweeds.com studios, Phoebe here sleeping by my feet, just completely not doing anything with her existence. Maybe she needs some tea or some vitamin D. Who knows? But yeah, if you've got Apple TV and stuff, Monarch, if you haven't checked it out, I'd highly recommend it. And the Steve Martin documentary. And I'm very excited. I've heard that they're going to do a sequel to Monarch, maybe some spinoffs. So that's great. I haven't seen the new Kong and Godzilla movie. And the number one reason for that is because it's exclusive to theaters. And getting me to a movie theater is extremely difficult. I did see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, but I mean, that's a rarity. Other than that, I will wait till something's streaming. So in the meantime, I can say, see you soon, Godzilla.
Hey, Godzilla. It's over. You must forgive. Damn lizard.
Oh, yeah, damn lizard. So I think that's all I really have for you guys today. I mean, I got some more thoughts rattling around in this little rusty bird cage sitting on my neck here. But I mean, I've taken up a lot of your time. You got busy lives to get to and things to see and people to do, whatever the case may be here. But I do want to say I appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to me today. I truly appreciate it. Virtual hugs for all of you. It means a whole hell of a lot. I did mention the email address. I did get an email recently I want to talk about, but maybe I will save it for next time. So keep the emails coming. It's something I like to read. Good comments, bad comments. Doesn't matter as long as you clickety-clack on your keyboard and write something to sellingoutshow@gmail.com. All right, so with that, I want to say I am Dave, that is Phoebe, and this has been The Selling Out Show. Yeah, baby. Yeah!